broadcasting statewide on the Golf Club Network, it's the Golf Club Radio Show with Danielle Tucker.
Welcome. You are in the clubhouse. It's the Rika Women's British Open. It's the WGC Bridgestone Invitational at Firestone. And Ron Syrak from the Rika Women's British Open at St. Andrews will be joining us. He is, of course, the Golf World Executive Editor, Golf Digest Senior Writer, and author of the Vision 54 Trilogy. You can always find him at golfdigest.com for updates. Before we talk with him, though, let's thank the people who make this show possible.
The Golf Club, brought to you by Acura of Honolulu. Now more than ever, choosing an Acura just makes sense. With this much traffic, you should ride in comfort. Introducing the Acura RLX and RLX Advance. Poipu Bay Golf Course, 18 championship holes, visually stunning. Nature and Robert Trent Jones Jr. conspired to create a stunning venue for golfers of all abilities. A unique and unforgettable golf experience. Poipu Bay Golf Course, Kauai's South Shore Jam. And Star Protection. Get your property threat and risk assessment, then protection for your home or business, for your concert or special event, like the Hyundai Tournament of Champions. Get the Star Team on your property. Star Protection is what you need in Hawaii and California.
Oh, yeah. We're getting in the mood because we're going to Scotland, where the Rika Women's British Open at St. Andrews is underway. Well, actually, there is a wind delay, and we're playing the Beatles because, from what I understand, there's a cover band doing Beatles music for the fans who have nothing better to do right now than wait and dance. Welcome to the show, Ron Syrak, Golf Digest Senior Writer and Executive Editor of Golf World.
Hello. We've had no golf for 5.5 hours, and yes, the Mersey Beatles are probably the most active thing going on now. We are actually expecting an announcement at any minute now, the next update, and my guess is if they can't tell us right now that we're going to resume in 30 minutes or something, that we might be done for the day and we'll resume play.
Okay, so done for the day. Now the question that's been bandied.
It looks like we're going to resume play at 6:15 tomorrow morning.
Oh, you were right. You've got to follow Ron Syrak on Twitter because he called that about 60 minutes ago. You said that was your guess.
Yeah.
Nicely done. Some of the players say the officials should have called play sooner and not had anybody go out at all. What's your take on that?
Wait a minute. Say that again. They were just making the announcement right now, which triggered applause in the media center here. So if you please repeat that question.
Absolutely. Some of the players who had to go out in the windy conditions thought maybe the scores from the day should be wiped out, something like what happened a year ago, and the whole third round should be redone.
Yeah, you know, I don't think they could do that. There's only, let me see, what do we have? I think they had 11 players finished. And now those players, they average 78.2. But, you know, at the same time, Anna Nordqvist is on the golf course. She's one under par in these conditions through 15 holes. So it's the luck of the draw. Inbee Park got the bad end of the draw yesterday. She teed off right when the wind started. We played Thursday in the most benign conditions I've ever seen at St. Andrews. And Friday started out in totally benign conditions. And then around 11 o'clock yesterday morning, it's changed. And it's just been blowing ever since then. It's just bad luck. I think that right now they did the right thing. I don't think you want to run the leaders out there right now and then have the chance that they come back tomorrow morning and play the hardest 9 holes under possibly benign conditions. Mm-hmm. But, you know, I've been coming over here for 21 years. And here's the one thing I know about Scottish weather forecasting. The only thing that matters is to look out the window and see what's going on.
Absolutely.
Other than that, you don't have a clue.
Did Inbee Park's complaint, the last one before the officials finally acted, make the difference?
I don't think so. I mean, she wasn't the only one. The greens that they're having the most problems with were number 7 and number 11. That's a combined double green out there. It's out at the tip. It's the farthest place out. And golf balls were moving there. She hadn't gotten that far. She was through 4 holes. But there were complaints from other players. And, you know, there were frankly some players I talked to Christy Kerr who said, you know, they could have stopped play 90 minutes earlier, because it was. The wind was gusting when I got here this morning, 20 to 25 miles an hour. It got to where it was sustained over 30, gusting to 40. And it was at that point where a couple of the greens became unputtable. And all you need is a couple of greens to be unputtable, and you got to shut it down.
Okay, so how strong does the wind have to blow? I've heard it's 36 miles an hour. Is that when it gets to 36, I go, stop?
That sounds about right, but there's no set number on it. It's just a question of where the rules officials have to evaluate the conditions and decide what's fair for the field. There are some courses that have where the greens are more steeply contoured and you have to shut it down quicker. And there are some tough contours here. And as I said, that exposed part of the course, this is a links course. It goes out, turns around, and comes back. And the part where you're the farthest out there is very, very exposed.
One person who said he played the third round in 87 and the first and second round in 95, the wind, he said, was blowing stronger than it was today, and he thought it was playable. Now, you've been there, I believe, since 87 at least.
I was at the 98 British Open at Royal Bertha when they had to stop play for a while because balls were moving on the greens. Uh-huh. It happens. There are some people who want to make the argument that because of technology and how far people hit the golf ball, that the greens are running faster than they used to run, and that makes it then more likely to be shut down by wind. But that's more of a factor in the men's game than it is in the women's game. I played these greens twice last week, and I played them before all the rain came in, they were quick, but they weren't scary fast. The greens over here tend not to be scary fast. It's just that there's a lot of wind.
Okay, all right, I'll go with that. But I kind of like some of the arguments made that the greens on the links courses today are being mown so tight that they're too fast. It's no longer like the natural conditions, so that when the wind does blow, they become unplayable. You don't think that's the case?
I don't, because everything over here is mown so close. I mean, you know, the fairways run at 11 here. The ball just rolls forever. And it's always felt like it's part of what links golf is supposed to be. Ernie Els told me a long time ago, he said, in the States, you worry about your golf ball when it's in the air. And links golf, you worry about your golf ball after it's landed. And I think that is true. That's the difference between the two styles of play.
Okay, and I totally agree with that. But what I'm wondering about is, because of our expectations, looking on television at greens, do the greenskeepers in the UK feel that they need to take care of their greens more than they used to, so that they have that feel, that billiard table feel to them for the players, for the viewers?
The greens were certainly that way on Thursday. They putted quite slow, and in fact, there were a couple times where Inbee Park, left lag putts 20 feet short, and they did have that feel to them. I think what we're just seeing here is that we've had 36 hours of pretty steady, strong winds, and they've dried the greens out, they've made the greens faster. And then the winds move the ball. I don't have any fault with the course conditions.
Excellent. Now, what about the idea that the whole game's kind of gotten to be driver, wedges, putter, and a bit boring, and the golf ball's going too far?
Well, again, that's one of the reasons that I enjoy the women's game a lot. Is that there's still it's not a driver wedge game out here. I mean, boy. There were players on 17, hitting driver 3-wood and coming up short on a par 4. So you do see every club in the bag brought into the mixture more often here. But I thought at Royal Birkdale or at Muirfield and at Marion for the U.S. Open, we saw lots of other clubs brought into the bag through course setups. By making players, Justin Rose had to hit a 4-iron into a par 4 on the last hole to win the U.S. Open, and that's pretty cool that he did. I do think there are times when we get to the place, particularly with hole locations, where courses can get too tricked up. I'm also not a big fan of chip out rough. You know, I don't want, when you miss a fairway, that your only option is to just chip back to the fairway. I want to see you have a chance to try to recover. Mm-hmm. And I think sometimes courses, I've seen courses that have gone over the top that way.
Okay. All right. Thank you. And question of the day. In B Park, is she too far back to win and make the Grand Slam of golf, winning all four professional majors in the same calendar year, something no man or woman has ever done before?
On this particular golf course, in this particular tournament, she's seven shots back, and she's still got, what, 18 plus 14, 32 holes to play. I don't think she's too far back, because there is no event other than a British Open, men's or women's, where luck plays as much of a role as it does here. There were big numbers hiding out there for anybody. Big numbers that can come with not that bad of a mistake, just by getting into a pot bunker and spending all day trying to get out of it. Since we can't really forecast what the weather conditions are going to be like, who knows? When she goes back out tomorrow, maybe she plays the first hour on the golf course under nice, benign conditions, and then the leaders tee off, and all of a sudden the wind starts coming up again.
Yeah.
So in most tournaments, she might be too far back at this point. But in this particular one, I don't think she is.
Miki Saiki and Nayeon Choi having beautiful rounds. Nayeon Choi seems very comfortable in the conditions. Who do you think is going to be one of the contenders on Sunday? Let's say NB Park comes up.
Well, Nayeon Choi's head's in a really good place right now, and she impressed me a lot when she won the U.S. Open last year. She had a four-shot lead at the turn on Sunday, triple bogeyed the 10th hole, and I thought, wow, it's going to unravel for her now, and then she birdied three of the next five holes to win going away.
Yeah.
She's a Vision 54 pupil who's worked with Pia Nielsen and Lynn Marriott for a long time, and she talked yesterday. I mean, boy, she was virtually reading chapters out of Vision 54, where she was like saying that the wind, she shot 67 in the worst wind yesterday.
Wow.
And she said, look, she said the golf course today was a par 74 or 75. So whether it was a par 3, a par 4, or a par 5, I didn't pay any attention to what par was. All I tried to do was focus on every shot. And so I think she's got the mental discipline and the strength to hang in there. Miki Saki's won twice this year on the JLPGA. She's never been in the position that she's in right now. She would be, to me, the surprise if she stayed up there. You look back at that next group, certainly Morgan Pressel and Suzanne Pedersen can hang in there all the way. Nicole Castrale is a bit of a surprise, but she's trying to make a late Solheim Cup run, so who knows what's going to happen there. And go back a little bit further, and Angela Stanford from Texas, she knows how to play the wind. Stacey Lewis from Texas, she knows how to play the wind. And one of the most underappreciated Americans is Lizette Salas, who's going to be in the Solheim Cup team this year. And she's six strokes back right now and has not teed up for the third round yet. And I wouldn't rule her out.
Excellent, excellent. I was surprised that Kari Webb, Ai Miyazato, Yanni Sen missed the cut, and Michelle Wee didn't.
I was actually, me too. I'll tell you how surprised I was. I went to one of the legal betting parlors here and put a little money on Kari Webb.
You did?
I mean, she was coming off a win in Europe the week before. She's played really, and she's won the British Open three times. So that surprised me.
I think what
Michelle is doing here, and, I think Michelle's locked up a spot on the U.S. Solheim Cup team, and that team will be announced about 2 hours after play ends tomorrow. And I think Michelle pretty much has a spot locked up by making the cut here.
Okay, what you're just saying right now is making a lot of people go, huh? Can we take a break and talk about Michelle Wee making the Solheim Cup as she does? Your thoughts on that? And, of course, how many golf courses did you play in the last, let's say, 7 days?
Six.
Can we take a break and talk about that?
Sure.
Oh, thanks so much. We'll be back right after this. My name is Danielle Tucker, and we're talking with Ron Cyrak, executive editor, Golf World, senior writer, Golf Digest. You can always find him at golfdigest.com. Check his updates there. We'll be back.
Stay tuned. We'll be hitting the greens with Danielle Tucker when we return to the Golf Club. Star Protection Agency, providing security across Hawaii since 1991. Licensed and bonded, property guard and patrol services, loss prevention. Star Protection provides the security you need with the industry-leading internet-based reporting system. One call does it all. 532-3911 or on the web at starprotectionagency.com. Star Protection, locally owned with people you trust. It was our office manager's birthday, and she loves golf. So we decided to get together for golf at Poipu Bay, and we invited a bunch of our customers. It turned into a party. The clubhouse restaurant made a fabulous lunch. The customers had a great time and met the people they give orders to. They were golf buddies long before the 19th hole. Golf at Poipu Bay. Family, friends, business, and fun at Poipu Bay Golf Course on Kauai's South Shore. Spectacular. Call 742-8711 and book your tee time, get together, or event at Poipu Bay. That's 742-8711. Poipu Bay Golf Course, Kauai's South Shore Gem. They say a test drive is worth a thousand words, and the 2014 Acura RLX and RLX Advance give the fuel-sipping smooth drive, comfort, tech, and music you deserve. Acura's loyalty and conquest programs will provide $2,500 toward the purchase or lease of your 2014 RLX. Come in or call TJ Jones at 942-4555 for your private appointment. The Acura RLX will be the best part of your day at Acura of Honolulu at 777 Ala Moana Boulevard.
Visit your local Acura dealer today. Luxury, intelligently priced.
Ah, here's the local rule sign. Keep it in the fairway. It speeds up play. Now, back to Danielle Tucker.
Okay, we have a fabulous Solheim Cup team. I mean, Stacey Lewis, Paula Creamer, Christy Kerr, Angela Stanford, Brittany Lincecum, Lexi Thompson, although she didn't make the cut, Jessica Korda, Brittany Lang, and then we've got the captain's picks, of course. Now, we're talking with Ron Syrak, Golf World Executive Editor, Senior Writer at Golf Digest, and you can always catch his work at golfdigest.com, and I recommend you do. Ron, you made quite a stir when you said you thought Michelle Wee was a lock. She's down at 13 after Morgan Pressel.
Yeah, here's what's going to happen. Right now, the eight players who are going to automatically qualify are Stacey Lewis, Paula Creamer, Christy Kerr, Angela Stanford, Brittany Lincecum, Lexi Thompson, Jessica Korda, and Brittany Lang. The only person who could get knocked out of there would be Lang could get knocked out only if Morgan Pressel wins, which there's a chance she could do that. Mm. But so, okay, those eight. There are two people now going off the Rolex rankings. Lizette Salas has one of those spots locked up. That takes you down to the second Rolex ranking spot. It's currently held by Jennifer Johnson, but she's got a 0.03 lead over Morgan Pressel in the rankings.
0.0?
0.03. So, and Johnson's missed the cut, and Pressel's on the leaderboard. So Pressel's almost certainly going to pass Johnson. So that means you've got those eight names that I read off, plus Salas and Pressel as the two Rolex picks. That brings you down to the next three players for two wild card spots, Johnson, Jarina Pillar, and Michelle Wee. And I think given the fact that both Johnson and Pillar would be Solheim Cup rookies, and the team already has Lexi Thompson, Jessica Korda, Lizette Salas as Solheim Cup rookies. They go with the experience of Michelle Wee.
Yep.
She's played twice, and you could very much argue that she's played some of her best golf in Solheim Cup play.
Yep, absolutely. I understand. The experience is where I saw you going, and I was just curious.
Yeah.
Yep. Yep.
Yeah, I don't think that she would make two rookies her picks.
Yeah.
Now, there's a chance. There's an outside chance here that Danielle Kang and Nicole Castrale, if they got it, they would need something like a top five finish here to, they could force their way into the Rolex rankings, that last Rolex ranking spot. I don't think that's going to happen. I think right now we have 13 players for 12 spots, and I see Jennifer Johnson being the odd woman out in that spot, by virtue of the fact that she missed the cut here.
And we find out Sunday, 2 hours, you say, after play is finished?
that's the plan. That's the plan. Although right now we don't know when play's going to finish.
So. Yeah, you may be there a day longer. That wouldn't be that bad, right? You're having a blast over there playing all this golf. Trump International, Old Course, those are the two that I heard about. What are the other courses you played?
Yeah, I played I played Trump's course. I played the Old Course twice. I'm very fortunate to do that. And I played two real gems, Crail and Ely. And they're both the Balcony course at Crail. Crail's the seventh oldest golf society in the world. And the Balcony course has all 18 holes. You can see the North Sea.
Wow.
And and Ely is a place that a lot of the RNA members have their other membership at. It's another Seaside Links course that's just fun to play. Just fun to play. The courses, they remind me, one of my favorite courses in the States is National Golf Links on Long Island. And what I like about those courses is they're hard to score on, but they don't beat you up. You know, bogey becomes an easy score, but pars and birdies are hard. And that makes the game a lot of fun, and it makes it a challenge.
So we station ourselves at St. Andrews. How far away are these courses from our home spot?
Oh, Crail and Ely were both like less than 15 miles. The courses there are seven courses in the St. Andrews Links Trust here that are all really, really good. Trump was about a 2.5 hour drive away, but I had heard so much about that piece of property that I wanted to go up and see it. And it is a spectacular, spectacular piece of property. There's so many good courses here. And, you know, one of the things that Americans don't know, unlike in the United States, you can get on private clubs here if you do it the right way. If you follow proper procedure, you call in advance, let them know that you want to come and try to work it. A lot of these places, they like to show them off.
Wait a minute. You don't have to be Ron Cyrak to do that?
No. You can. No. I mean, you know, and, you know, there's... I would say Muirfield is the one place over here that you've got no shot getting on.
Okay.
But other places, you know, it can be done. Particularly, you know, if you're a member of a club and you have your pro, call their pro. There are ways to do it. And you could stay in St. Andrews for 2 weeks and play 36 holes a day, a different course each round, and not play a bad golf course.
Wow. Yeah,
there's a lot of great courses here.
Yeah, it's some of it, and a good reason to follow Ron Cyrak on Twitter. It's RonSirak. He tweets gorgeous pictures. I mean, it's as simple as that. And then you go, well, I just want to be there. Now, the Old Course, they were playing golf there when the world was flat, right?
Pretty much. Yeah.
Okay. Is it Ely? That looked like a World War II course. I know it's older than that, but what are some of the things that I saw in pictures?
Well, the neat thing about Ely is the opening tee shot is a blind tee shot over a hill. So some guy right after World War II got the idea there was a British submarine that was being scrapped, and he bought the periscope from the submarine and installed it in the starter's shack at Ely. So the starter looks through this periscope to see when the hole's clear, and it's pretty cool.
It's priceless.
Yep.
Okay, I'm having too much fun. This is fantastic. Now you're we're going to talk next week from the PGA Championship.
Yeah, my Magical Mystery Tour, which has gone from the men's British to the women's British, now goes to the PGA Championship, and then the Solheim Cup.
Yes, it's fantastic. Are you going to the Evian?
Am I going to what?
Evian. You know, that other
that
one?
I don't. I'm not sure yet.
Okay.
I've gone to the Evian quite a few times, but right now it comes at a... it comes like during the FedEx Cup stuff things, and we haven't sorted that out yet.
Yes, I understand. All right, now, Tiger Woods, did everybody in the media center over on your side of the world, everybody stop? I mean, it's like the world stopped to watch Tiger Woods on Lou Riccio said he was on 58 watch. Everybody was on 59 watch. And then he got to his last four holes, and I'm sitting there going, I should just go to sleep, because if I'm sleeping, he'll do it. If I miss it, it'll happen. But he shot a 61. He fell apart. It was like watching him at the majors on a Saturday or Sunday. And it's going to be interesting to see what happens this Saturday and Sunday. And what did you think?
Well, first off, it got my attention when I saw on Twitter that he was something like 8-under through 12 or something like that. And I thought, oh my goodness. You know, and it looked like, I guess it was a point where he just needed two birdies and five holes or something like that to shoot 59. But I was surprised when he shot 61 that people were sort of so astounded that he shot 61. I mean,
that they were disappointed. You mean that they were disappointed?
Well, that, and also the fact that he's, look, if there's one thing that Tiger has proved to us, there are certain golf courses that he owns, and Firestone's one of them.
Exactly.
You look at Muirfield, at Bay Hill, at Doral, at a Firestone. Tiger has about half of his wins on those courses. And throw Torrey Pines in there, too.
Yeah.
I think if you put those five courses in, he does have something like 36 wins on them. So, I mean, to me, what Tiger still has to prove is that he can be the player who once dominated the major championships. We're into year six without a major.
Yeah, and you know, he had a broken leg. He's recovering from injuries that most of us would never recover from and get back on a golf course and contend at the level that he's contending. I got to give him slack on that. But in his mind, I think, was completely rattled by going into rehab to figure out that he was a... You know, he's got issues, and he never thought about that. And I think that rattled his brain. This is only my personal opinion, of course. It has no reflection on anybody else. I don't think he has. Steve Williams told a colleague of yours that he doesn't think Tiger Woods has the aggressiveness he had of yesteryear. It'll be interesting to see. I think Tiger's got it all, and he's just got to put it together. And but on Twitter, I was telling you, go watch. You got to watch. If he ought to do it in a major, it doesn't count unless he does it. I said, okay, fine. You know, the guy could shoot 54, like Vision 54, and people would say, if he doesn't do it in a major, it doesn't count. Ron Cyrak, we should co-host a show together. That would be so much fun. Thanks for being on with me.
Yeah, anytime. Thanks for having me on, Daniel.
Absolutely. We'll talk again next weekend from the PGA Championship, and we'll be back right after this. My name is Danielle Tucker. This is The Golf Club.
Stay tuned. We'll be hitting the greens with Danielle Tucker when we return to the Golf Club.
Hoipu Bay on Kauai's South Shore. Come share our home where the Grand Slam was played. Robert Trent Jones Jr. saw the mountains and felt the sea. Sure, great vistas and greens most people only dream of. Take the day off or do business with a bunch of your best customers. Come join the fun and the aloha at Hoipu Bay. Call us for your tee time, where great golf is played every day at Poipu Bay.
Hi, I'm Ernie Els. Autism now affects 1 in 88 children in the United States. Early diagnosis for autism makes all the difference. Please learn the early warning signs on our website, elsforautism.com, and talk to your doctor about an autism screening if you have any concerns. Autism is not game over, it is game on. Get educated and learn the facts. Please join me at the Els for Autism Golf Challenge this year. We are playing great courses throughout the United States. Fundraise $13,000 or more, and you can join me and some of my friends at the finale in Las Vegas. Thank you very much.
An ounce of prevention is worth a pound of cure. Call Star Protection Agency for your office building, shopping center, or construction site. Let Star Protection take care 24/7. They know what to do to protect your assets, or join the Star team. Need a threat and risk assessment for your business? Call 532-3911. 532-3911. Star Protection Agency, across Hawaii since 1991. Get Star Protection.
You scope out the sand traps. You size up the green. You're eyeing the flag. Now, it's time to choose a club, but you don't know which one to choose?
That's when you turn to Danielle Tucker. Now, back to the Golf Club.
And welcome back in the clubhouse. We're going to go back to St. Andrews because one of my first friends on Twitter, Andy Brown, he created something called Home of Golf TV. He has since sold that to someone. Isn't that great when you can make something and sell it? I love it. He has founded tripleyourclients.com. He's based in St. Andrews where he serves on several committees. He's a member of the new club, St. Andrews. Andy Brown, welcome to the show.
Hi, Danielle. It's a pleasure to be back on the call.
And it's absolutely great having you. And I've got so much to ask you. Have you, you were at Muirfield, you were, and you are, or are you at Ricoh Women's British Open now?
Yeah, I live in St. Andrews, so the golf course is only a mile away. So, yes, I've been at the course all day long. Well, not today, but last few days, and also during the practice round. I kind of wanted my workload down to a bare minimum, so I had maximum time to spend on the golf course this week.
You were walking the course with John Boyne, I understand, a caddy?
Yes. It's funny. I stood next to the 18th with John a few weeks ago, and he said, and he's a full-time caddy. He's one of the best, and he said, I really want a bag for the week. He didn't want to find a player on the actual day or the day before the tournament. He wanted all the preparation done beforehand. And then just a few days later, Nicole Haig was on Facebook saying, I just qualified in Canada. I need a caddy. So I knew Nicole, and I just Facebooked her, sent her a message and said, I've got the best caddy for you, put them in touch. And they got together, and although she didn't make the cut, it was a fantastic week, and she loved being in St. Andrews, and John was very happy with having the bag the whole week.
That's excellent. I want to ask you, you know, the changes that were done at St. Andrews over the past year, they were kind of controversial. What's been the reaction to those changes?
It was controversial, but I think it was only controversial because the announcements came late. There wasn't too much sort of public notice about it. And I think the Lynx Trust, who and also the RNA, who kind of responsible for the changes, just acknowledged that it could have been handled in a slightly better way. But the actual fiscal changes, I mean, the old course has been changing every year for the last, you know, 100 years. And the course has been there 600 years. So it really was made into, you know, a mountain from a molehill, I believe. You know, they care about the course more than anyone, you know, so they weren't going to do anything detrimental. So, I mean, there's slight changes, but you now play the holes and you forget about what was there before. And, you know, I come to St. Andrews in 2005. I didn't know what was there beforehand. You get used to the changes. A lot of bracken was taken out. That can change the character of some of the holes, but that, you know, that grows back in sort of 10, 20 years' time. So there's maintenance issues as well as playability issues. Yeah, it's always changing. We must remember that with a golf course, it's always changing. It can't just be set up for an Open Championship. It's still the locals and all the people that come to visit and play the course, you know, every day of the year.
And tell us, you know, when it comes to a course as gorgeous as St. Andrews, on Sunday or any day, can someone take a walk in the park? Is it like a park?
Yes. I mean, my dog's a little bit annoyed about the women coming this week because he won't be able to have his regular dog walk tomorrow morning all over the golf course.
That's Sid. Sid. Yes.
Usually we're walking up and down the 17th and the 16th, and I always chuckle to myself as I'm walking the dog, and I'm thinking people would, you know, do anything to be here, to be playing golf, and here I am just walking my dog up and along the fairways and everything, and that's the cool nature of the place, really. That the old course is actually shut on a Sunday, and it does almost turn into a park. You know, people don't even play golf or don't even recognise the importance of the old course, even though they sort of live in St. Andrews, just use it as a sort of social public space, which is brilliant, really.
It is brilliant. It's wonderful. It's what makes it, you know, Scotland and St. Andrews and just everything about it. As a businessman in St. Andrews, how important are these major golf tournaments to the local economy?
Massive, absolutely massive. There's a hardcore of shops that depend on the golf industry, and then there's other shops, you know, your regular greengrocers and your newsagents and your shoe shop and everything like that. Less so, because they depend on the local market, but particularly the hotels and the restaurants, they rely on it because everyone knows the St Andrews. It's in the press. It's on the TV here, you know, on the wider message. And also some of the sponsors that the Lynx Trust have, they will have posters and big, well, posters in the airports, major airports around the world, talking about St Andrews. And, you know, I'm on the committee here of the St Andrews Merchant Association. I remind some of the merchants that where their shop is being advertised around the world due to the nature that we have sponsors, and they get the message out that way. So it is a massive thing to have the major here. And it's also the RICO put so much money into the tournament this year. That's brilliant to see.
How have they changed it? I understand they've really, I mean, pumped it up.
they have. I mean, it was fantastic in 2007 to see the major here, but just walking through the tented village a few days ago as it was being built, I thought, oh, this is a little bit bigger, more grander. The infrastructure is more significant, what they got in place. It feels more like a major, and it's great to see that. You know, IMG Golf and RICO, fantastic sponsors, and, you know, hopefully they'll be there for a long, long time.
Yeah, I hope so too, because they are brilliant. They do a great job. Do you make does the St. Andrews, do you make enough on the, let's say, biannual events, or do you as a businessman plan events for people to come to St. Andrews too? In a season, a ski season, let's say, in a small Swiss village, you make enough in 3 months to carry you through for the rest of the year. I don't imagine that much money is pumped in from, let's say, the Women's British or an Open. So how do you continue to bring those dollars in?
Well, it's funny you should mention that, because St. Andrews, although it's a sort of destination resort, not just for golfers, but for a lot of people, just because it's a beautiful place. It's in a great location, not too far away from Edinburgh Airport, a significant place in Scotland. Usually it isn't too seasonal, because certainly in the sort of the darker months, you know, the winter months, you still got quite an active community, because you've got all the students, the university here. And then in the summer, as well as the golf, you've got all the holiday makers coming in, people coming in for day trips or week trips, and then the Americans start coming here
in
April, May time. So it's not too seasonal, so we don't have to sort of depend on one lump of money coming in at one time from any given event. We are fortunate that there's always something going on through the year. Nice. In January is quite a quiet month, like most sort of resorts, but it's quite nice to feel there with the B&B owners and hotel owners to take their holidays before it all starts over again.
Right. Don't you put on a festival, though, too? You organize a festival in March?
We did, yes, we did. A year and a half ago, we put on a festival, and there are plans to sort of repeat that. A lot of effort was put involved. It wasn't really anything to make any money out of. It was just to celebrate golf history and golf books and golf historians and anything related to golf, really, but less so about the actual playing of the game. It was a 3-day event. It was well received, and awards were given out, and it was a success. And you know, if we can find a major sponsor, it'll probably sort of change slightly. But there could be something in the future. There's a lot of festivals in St Andrews, and it was a surprise. There wasn't really a golf orientated one, so that was the nucleus of the idea to kind of put it into place. So sort of watch this space on that one. Really, there'll be something in the future.
I hope so, because it's fun, you know, and it gives you a reason to go, other than there's lots of reasons to go. Question that when I think about tourism, you know, the visitor industry, as we call it in Hawaii, how do you protect the antiquity of the area, that feeling with the upgrading your facilities, the need, you know, the things that the modern traveler has come to expect, the power outlets in the hotel room power all the different things that you are running around with now. How do you balance the old and the new?
Oh, good question. Maybe you should be speaking to some of the B&B owners. I know. I don't think they really sort of make any effort into much sort of upgrade what they have or recognise what's going on, you know, with technology. I think they've just based themselves on a good customer experience,
yeah.
Really. I think, and people fall in love. I know Sheena and Jack at the Dunvegan Hotel very well. I always remember a story they were telling me where grown men would sort of drop their bags into the foyer of the hotel, and before anything, they just run down the road 100 yards away to the 18th green, and they'd almost be in tears looking at it and going, I made it to the Mecca of golf, the home of golf.
Yes.
And really, the fact they can't get Wi-Fi or they can't go and get anything, you know, the latest TV show, they don't worry about that. They're in the home of golf. They're just going to worry about their golf and where to have a drink and a good meal and some good chat about golf, and everything else really doesn't matter. But saying that, there's a lot of five-star hotels around, and I'm sure people do well, but it's a different experience, I think, when you come to this part of the world.
Yeah, it is. I love it there. Now, tell me, where is a good place? Where would you send a good friend for a good dinner?
Good dinner. There's so many restaurants. If you like Italian food, there's this Italy. A wide choice of meal at the Doll's House. Last night I was eating my traditional chili bowl at the Dunvegan with John Boyne going through his round of golf. There's the great view from the Roussac's Hotel that overlooks the 18th hole. So that's always a good one. There's got Forgans, is a brand new restaurant in town.
Excellent.
In Market Street. So, yeah, there's many, many. I'm going to get, when I come for the show, people go, why didn't you mention that? But there are so many good places. There's a few there.
We're talking with Andy Brown. He founded tripleyourclients.com. He's based in St. Andrews, where, of course, the RICO Women's British Open is not being played today because, it's windy. So they're waiting for tomorrow to start their tee times early in the morning. I think 6:15, an early rise. What do you do, tripleyourclients.com?
Oh, very quickly. It's a business that helps businesses get more clients effectively using the internet. So, it's typically, if you search on Google, you see the adverts at the top and on the right, so help companies set all that up, and also email marketing, building a list, how to collect email addresses, and how to communicate with your clients. It's something I've always done in the background, and as well as all my other sort of golf businesses, but something I'm concentrating on now more than ever. It's great. I mean, I work for myself. I have a team of people that I outsource work to, but I just gear it up so basically I can work in the mornings and evenings and play a bit of golf in the afternoon. That's the way I like to work.
Well, I'd like that. I want to triple my clients and then be able to do exactly that. tripleyourclients.com. Andy Brown is the founder. He created Home of Golf TV. If you go to YouTube, you'll still find, you can see some flyovers. And so it was fun time, Andy, and I'm so glad that you've got your base and you're in St. Andrews, the place you love, and it's always great talking with you. Thanks for being on the show.
Thank you very much, Daniel. Always a pleasure.
All right. We'll be back right after this. My name is Danielle Tucker. This is The Golf Club.
Stay tuned. We'll be hitting the greens with Danielle Tucker when we return to The Golf Club.
They say a test drive is worth a thousand words, and the 2014 Acura RLX and RLX Advance give the fuel-sipping smooth drive, comfort, tech, and music you deserve. Acura's loyalty and conquest programs will provide $2,500 toward the purchase or lease of your 2014 RLX. Come in or call TJ Jones at 942-4555 for your private appointment. The Acura RLX will be the best part of your day at Acura of Honolulu at 777 Ala Moana Boulevard.
Visit your local Acura dealer today. Luxury, intelligently priced.
In the security business, trust is earned over time. That's why Star Protection Agency has grown to be the largest locally owned security company in Hawaii. We've earned a reputation as a common sense, highly responsive, cutting-edge security provider. Our clients know that we're watching out for them. We know that our fast response is what makes us a star performer.
And we'd like to thank our clients for their trust over the past 20 years.
Trust your security to the Star. Star Protection Agency.
Oh man, will you look at that? It's right down the fairway. What a beautiful shot. Oh man, can't be too happy about that one.
Now, back to Danielle Tucker on the Golf Club.
Possible in the world of golf, including being the first to develop and market a personal computer-based software program studying an individual's game. What year was that? Lou Riccio, PhD in engineering from Lehigh, who is now a faculty member at Columbia University. When did you do that?
That was back in 1978. I even brought my software and my statistical analysis up to the PGA Tour headquarters in Bethesda, Maryland in those days, and suggested that they should start a statistics program, something they didn't have, the only major league sports organization without a good statistics program. And it took them a couple of years to finally realize that it was a smart thing to do. Then years later, under Tim Fincham, they really figured out that statistics are a big part of sports, and built the ShotLink system, which is absolutely a fabulous statistical system.
And this first year that the PGA Tour, the inaugural ShotLink Intelligence Prize, went to Lou Riccio, who's on with us right now. I got to ask you, Lou Riccio, when you put together your ShotLink paper, what was the thrust of your paper?
Okay, here's we all know, if you look at statistics, the golf can be both very simple and very difficult. It's very simple in that it's just our score. We look at our score and we say, how did we do? But there's so many different components to the game. There's a long game. There's distance. There's accuracy. There's the iron play. There's chipping, sand play. Putt. There's all these different things. And we need to understand how all of those different parts of the game contribute. I call it the search for the double helix. What is the combination that works for us? And every golfer is somewhat different. What I found out over the years is that there are some statistics that are more important than others. For example, the number one statistic that determines your score is greens and regulations. If you want to know something about your play, you should be keeping track of your greens and regulations. And Riccio's formula for this is your score is going to be equal to 95 minus 2 times the number of greens and regulations you hit. Now, I don't expect anybody to really follow that rule, but here's the simple way of remembering it. If you want to break 90, you have to develop the game that will hit at approximately 3 greens in regulation. If you want to break 80, you're going to have to get a game together that you can, on average, hit about 8 greens in regulation. And if you want to break 70, you're going to have to get the game, like the pros, and average about 13 greens in regulation. So 3 greens break 90, 8 greens break 80, and 13 greens break 70. If you can get your tee to green game in order so that you can hit that level of greens in regulation, you'll see your score improve.
Can I explain this really quick for the beginner?
Sure. It's the par minus 2 is a green in regulation.
Okay.
So if you want to hit the green from the tee. On a par 4, you want to hit the green in 2, and on a par 5, you want to hit the green in 3 strokes. If you do that, that's considered a green hit in regulation.
Great.
And that's the best predictor of score of all the other statistics. So the more greens you hit, the likelihood is the better you'll score. Not perfect, but it's a pretty good predictor. Now, of all the statistics that indicate greens in regulation, the most important one is iron play. Distance is important, but the typical golfer finds a golf course that's good for their distance, their ability to hit distance. And hitting the fairway versus the rough is important, but not as important as just plain hitting the green from the fairway. It's your iron play that is the most highly related to greens and regulation. Now, if you look at the PGA Tour statistics, they give you statistics on greens and regulation, and you got a lot of people who do very well in greens and regulation. Bubba Watson, by the way, does very good in greens and regulation. Now, what does that mean? Well, Bubba Watson's hitting the ball from 50 yards closer than Ben Curtis. You know, so he should hit more greens in regulation because he hits a big tee ball.
Mm-hmm.
So I set out in my paper for the PGA Tour Intelligence Prize was, how do you adjust for the fact that somebody is a better driver than another player and take that into account so that we can get a true measure, a pure measure of their ability to hit the green with their iron clubs? So I took every par 4 shot for a whole year for every pro from 150 yards to 225 yards, which is the typical distance that the pros are using their irons. Inside 150, they're in their wedges. Beyond 225, many of the golfers are into their hybrids or their three woods at that point. So I just took the shots between 150 and 225, and I found out a standard. I found a standard. The average pro hits the green from 225 yards out about 42% of the time. They average about 50% of the time at about 210 yards or so. And at 150 yards, they average close to 81%. 81% of the time they hit the green. Now that's good playing. Those are the best golfers in the world. But now I had a standard of which I can compare all the different golfers on how far they were hitting from and whether they hit the green or not, and adjust for the fact that one guy might not hit the green as often as another, but that's because he was hitting it from much further away. You want to be above that line. You want to be above the standard, and then you're a better than average golfer.
Got it. Okay.
Okay. Does that make sense?
No. It all makes sense.
Okay.
Well, you know, I'm thinking about how does that make people who don't play very well feel.
What you want to do is practice your iron play. You go to the practice range, and don't just hit the balls. You know, take your 6-iron out and aim at something, and see if you can get 6 out of 10 shots close to what you're aiming at. If you can get 3 out of 10 shots with your 3-iron, and 9 out of 10 shots with your 9-iron, you're going to be a really good player. But that's something. What I'm saying is that when you practice meaningfully.
Yes.
And in that way, you could see. So that when you take that to the golf course, and you're standing out there in the fairway, and whatever iron you take out there, you're going to get better scores if you can improve your iron play. The closer you can get to the green, the more you can get on the green, your scores will improve. And I did that for the pros, and I found that the best iron player on the pro, on the tour for last year, was Justin Rose. He hit the most greens when you adjust for distance than anybody else. It didn't surprise me that 3 weeks after I published this in Golf Digest that Justin Rose won the U.S. Open, which is a ball-striking tournament.
Yes.
You know, Johnny Miller used to call the Augusta the National Invitational Putting Championship because the greens are so important there.
Yes.
But, I mean, obviously, tee to green is important there also, but putting is very important. Whereas at the U.S. Open, it's all about ball striking. And sure enough, the best ball striker on tour won the event. What a surprise. Tiger Woods is an outstanding ball striker. He comes out high on every measure, and that's why he does so well. Bubba Watson, everybody knows him as a great driver. He's also a great iron player. He's above the line at every distance. He hits 60% of the greens from 225 yards when the average pro is about 42%. Now, at the other hand, Dustin Johnson, who hits the ball as far as Bubba Watson, does not do as well. He only hits the green from 150 yards. He only hits the green about 60% of the time, much lower than the average pro. So here's a guy that hits the ball a long way but doesn't take advantage of it, whereas Bubba hits it a long way and does take advantage by also having a really good iron game.
Okay, we're talking about shot link, okay? And what happens is volunteers go out on a golf course following the professionals, and if you ever have time to do this, it's a great way to be up close to the professionals and you'll actually see how good they are. What you'll do is you'll be trained in how to measure the distance that the golfer, what club they're using, and the golfer is hitting the ball. Now, you put that information in, ShotLink puts it all into the system, and then golfers can evaluate how well they're doing. Much like you could do this with, let's say, Golf Digest, Golf Logic. It's a really good app for you to find out how you're doing. One of the criticisms of ShotLink, we're speaking with Dr. Lou Riccio, Dr. PhD engineering, that's why I'm calling him a doctor. He's not going to help kill me. One of the criticisms is the information that goes into ShotLink is only as good as the volunteers who, you know, like one golfer said, his wife said, "Honey, why didn't you make that 3-foot putt?" And he said, 3 foot, it was 15. there is some discrepancy there, isn't there, with ShotLink?
No, actually, the technology is really quite good, and they have it down to the inch. You know, it's GPS, and it's very...
This doesn't depend on the volunteer getting it right?
No, the volunteer is using the technology.
Okay.
And it's very precise. And it's an amazing system. It's a very, very professional system. And they have millions of golf shots. So for a data geek like me, it's a dream. You know, I've got all this data to play with and test different theories. And the purpose, and thank you for mentioning the Golf Logics, Golf Digest app, because what we've now done is we've taken that statistical information and made it available to every golfer so they can have the same kind of ShotLink experience that the pros have on their own game. They can get their own statistic, how many fairways they hit, how many greens they hit, how many putts they took, if they improve in any one of those components, how much will their score improve? And it'll track their performance over time so they can see that if that practice worked for them or if their on-course management strategies are working or not working. And it's a wonderful experience. You know, we all love to play the game. I love to replay the game in my mind, well into the evening. You know, it's just such a wonderful experience, and we all love to remember our best shots. Well, this is another way of remembering your round and then comparing it and testing to see what you need to do to practice or to learn about the golf. Digest instruction material is fantastic. It'll tell you exactly how to improve your chipping or your putting or your sand play or your ability to hit the fairway. All of the information is right there, and it's right at your fingertips if you take advantage of the Golf Logics app.
See, so you don't have to have a volunteer following you around.
That's right. That's right. Yeah.
You just have to put it into the machine.
Well, it's right there.
It'll tell you, yes.
If you have a smartphone, it's right there with you. You know,
yes.
It's walking the course with you, and you just tap it, and it's got the information of where you are and how you're doing, and you just give it a little bit more information. And the way we're inputting the data is improving every day. It's getting better and better, and the feedback you get at the end of the round is really wonderful.
That's part of the beauty. Dr. Lou Riccio, he got together with Golf Logics and help with through Golf Digest. With how many years have you been writing? 30 years?
Oh, my God, I got over 30 years.
30 years.
Yeah.
So this library from Golf Digest was at his fingertips, and you make it possible. So if I'm having a bad day, let's say 125 yards in, Golf Logics will then say, hey, you really didn't have a good day today. Let me show you what you should be working on. And their tips from the library will come up?
Yes. Matter of fact, this is legal, if anybody asks, because technology, there's always a question about technology. But any published information, you know, you could carry the entire history of Golf Magazine, Golf Digest Magazine around with you on the course if you look up the instruction. You don't have to anymore. It's all right there on your Golf Logics app, so that if you want to get instantaneous tips on how to do things, it's as long as it's been pre-published. It's legal to access that information. But the best part about it is that after the round, it gives you a thorough analysis of all parts of your game and guides you to the parts that you didn't do well on that day or you haven't done consistently well over the last several rounds. And it says, you know, here's a tip, go to the practice range, use this tip, practice it, and then take it on the course, and you'll see real results.
Absolutely great. And it's like when you're practicing, as Dr. Lou Riccio said, practice with a purpose, okay? When you're, you know, go to the driving range, say, I'm going to hit the ball right there. And make sure that you do that until you get it done. And just don't hit balls, unless you're frustrated. My son used to go out on the golf. I would watch him hit balls, and he had this beautiful, natural swing. No one taught him. And he could hit it for miles. It, you know, 250 was nothing for him. And I'd say, why don't you take up this game? He said, I can't putt, Mom, and I don't have the patience to learn. He knew exactly why, you know. It wasn't something he wanted to do. He couldn't putt. He didn't have the patience to learn. But he felt very good beating balls. So So if you go to the range and you're upset and you want to go beat some balls, yeah, that's your purpose that day. But if you want to get better on the course, you've got to practice with a purpose.
Yeah, I wish he would try, though, because putting putting is an important part of the game, and it can be excruciatingly frustrating. But, you know, I wish he'd get out there and try it, because if he can hit the ball, you know, Ben Hogan said there's two games. There's one in the air and one on the ground, and you can, you know, anybody pretty much can learn how to hit the ball on the ground. If you can hit it in the air, you're a golfer.
That's what I thought, but I wasn't going to argue with the man. He's been to Afghanistan and Iraq five times.
He's a hero.
He's done his thing. Okay.
He's a hero, as far as I know.
One of the articles you wrote, Better Bad Shots. Tell us about that.
Yeah, every bad shot really is adds up to about almost 1.5 shots by my statistical analysis, because you put your ball in a bad place, very often you can't get back to a good place, and it adds at least 1.5 strokes to you. And Jack Nicklaus once said, you know, you get good at this game when your worst shots aren't much worse than your best shots. I study variability, and it's true. The variability of the difference between your best shots and your worst shots is determines how good you are. On the driving range, you should work on a swing that is consistent. You want to groove a consistent, repeatable swing. And too many golfers worry about hitting the ball a long way. They want to swing, you know, so they hit the ball as far as they can. The secret to this game is accuracy. It's a real game of accuracy. And, you know, even the best pros don't swing at 100%. They swing at probably 80 or 90%, so that they can see where the ball's going to end up. And it should end up in a good place. So more important to work on a swing that gives you consistency, and eliminate those really disaster holes. In addition, if you get in a bad place, don't try and be a hero. You know, get the ball back. They call it the fairway for a reason. You know, don't try and hit it through three trees. Hit it back into the fairway. Play for bogey or double bogey and eliminate the triples and quadruple bogeys, and you'll see your score improve tremendously. If you look at your 18 holes, and let's say that you're a bogey golfer and you're 18 over, you probably hit, of those 18 shots over par, you probably had 6 or 8 of those on 2 or 3 holes. If you can figure out what you did wrong on those holes and eliminate those, bingo, you're down in the low 80s. You got a good shot at breaking 80.
I like your thinking.
Right? I mean, everybody thinks I got to make birdies. No, what you really want to do is eliminate the triples and the double bogeys.
Yep.
And all of a sudden, you know something, you're playing a lot better.
Yeah.
And so go to Golf Digest, and they'll show you how to groove a consistent swing. And also use good course management strategies so that you don't go from bad to worse.
Okay, final question. Everybody's asking this question, and I'm sure you have an opinion. What's wrong with Tiger Woods?
Well, that's a very interesting question, and he shows. I mean, on one hand, you could say there's nothing wrong with him. He's won 4 tournaments already this year, and that ain't bad. 4 out of I think he only had 8 starts.
Yep.
You know, and if you win half your starts and people are saying you're having a bad year, I'm a little confused by that. But you know what's interesting? We've done some detailed analyses here on every pro here at Columbia University, and you find some very interesting things when you compare the pros. Tiger, we compared, who doesn't love to compare Tiger and Phil, right? The two great superstars.
Absolutely.
Tiger scores better from the fairway than Phil. But Phil scores better from the rough, from the non-fairway. Let's put it to say the non-fairway. He scores substantially better than Tiger when he misses the fairway. Now, part of that could be is that he misses more fairways, has more practice. The other possibility is that Tiger, when he misses a fairway, he really misses a fairway.
Yeah.
You know, he's in real trouble. But there's some really fascinating aspects of the studying these golfers with the ShotLink data. And so I would say that Tiger is, first off, he's still the number one golfer. You know, he's got 4 victories, and everybody says he's not doing well because he hasn't won the major.
But he collapses in the majors on Saturday.
He's had some weaknesses in the majors, and I haven't looked at all of his statistics. You know, putting stands out mainly because he was such an incredible putter. He was superhuman when it came to putting. I mean, the only guy I ever saw who could consistently putt like Tiger was Jack Nicklaus. When Nicklaus, I remember when he won the 80 U.S. Open at Baltusrol, there were several 30-foot putts that he just looked at the ball, looked at the hole, and said, "You're going in that hole." And it did. You know, it was like nobody else under the pressure could have done. And Tiger was like that, and he was like that for so long. And now he just doesn't quite seem to have that. But there's some other little differences. This is these little tiny differences can add up to a stroke around, and a stroke around puts you out of the lead and puts you in fourth, fifth place.
That's right. Especially at that Open. That Open was amazing to watch. And watching Phil Mickelson shoot a 66 while
great.
Those around him fell apart was amazing. He was five shots back when they started. We're watching Tiger Woods, Lee Westwood, everybody just sort of dribble away, and there comes Phil shining. It was beautiful.
He was in the zone. It was just a beautiful thing. The interesting thing about that championship is that Westwood, and by the way, on my statistics, Westwood hits the ball from the fairway, the iron striking, he hits the ball closest. Nobody hits the ball closer when he's in the fairway than Lee Westwood. His tee to green game is usually his strength, and his putting is usually his weakness. At that Open Championship, his putting was terrific, and his tee to green play failed him on Sunday.
I don't
think he hit a fairway on the front nine.
It was terrible.
It was really tragic. You know, I was delighted for Phil. I always root for Phil, but it was, you know, statistics didn't work that day for Westwood.
We're talking with Lou Riccio. He's on the faculty of Columbia University, teaches business analytics, head of the Columbia University Consortium for Advanced Sports Analytics. His research and data analysis in part led to the USGA Slope Rating, USGA Handicap Research Team original member, and the recipient of the USGA's Isaac Granger Award. I hope you'll be on the show again.
Anytime you'd like. It's
Thank
a
you
terrific
very
show. You have a great show. I hope the people of Hawaii appreciate it.
Absolutely, and we'll be online at radiogolfclub.com. You can do an RSS feed so you can get it, podcast, iTunes, Stitcher Radio, and of course I tweet it all the time. My name is Danielle Tucker, and I want to thank Lou Riccio for being on the show. Thanks so much.
My pleasure.
Aloha. We'll be back right after this. My name is Danielle Tucker, and this is The Golf Club.
Stay tuned. We'll be hitting the greens with Danielle Tucker when we return to the Golf Club.
It was our office manager's birthday, and she loves golf. So we decided to get together for golf at Poipu Bay, and we invited a bunch of our customers. It turned into a party. The clubhouse restaurant made a fabulous lunch. The customers had a great time and met the people they give orders to. They were golf buddies long before the 19th hole. Golf at Poipu Bay. Family, friends, business, and fun at Poipu Bay Golf Course on Kauai's South Shore. Spectacular. Call 742-8711 and book your tee time, get together, or event at Poipu Bay. That's 742-8711. Poipu Bay Golf Course, Kauai's South Shore Gem.
The new Acura RDX features an incredibly efficient V6 engine with 273 horsepower. Yet the RDX has incredible nimble driving characteristics. And let's not forget, it's also equipped with standard power moonroof, Bluetooth phone connectivity, and a 360-watt 7-speaker premium audio system. It also has standard leather seats. Unfortunately, they don't make any sound. Test drive the new RDX today.
Visit your local Acura dealer today. Luxury, intelligently priced.
The new Acura RLX's true sense of luxury comes from its unique technologies. From the Juuli LED headlights and precision all-wheel steer, to its available 14-speaker Krell premium audio system, the RLX takes everything you love about a luxury sedan and makes it even more luxurious. The all-new RLX from Acura. Luxury taken to a whole new level.
Visit your local Acura dealer today. Luxury, intelligently priced.
You scope out the sand traps. You size up the green. You're eyeing the flag. Now, it's time to choose a club, but you don't know which one to choose?
That's when you turn to Danielle Tucker.
Now, back to the Golf Club.
We are KPUA Hilo, KGU Honolulu, KONI Lanai City, KTOH Kalaheo. Okie dokie, we've got some tea times for you at Princeville, where if you're shopping, it's 25% off the sale rack, so check it out. There's a 9:10, a 10:30, and a 12:10. Coming up, Ed Kageyama from Ka'anapali will be checking in with us, but I've got a few notes I wanted to share with you. Oh, we also have Makapala on Twitter, a friend of mine. He is an amateur astronomer. He came to Hawaii to check out the fabulous telescopes on the Big Island at the top of Mauna Kea, and really spent a lot of time here, played some golf, but he's from Scotland, and his train is running late, so we may not hear from him today, although he may be on the show right now. Poipu, yes, thank you very much. Did I say Princeville? I'm sorry. I meant Poipu Bay. You have tea times at Poipu Bay to play, and that would be 9:10, 10:30, and 12:10. The beautiful day we're going to have includes partly to mostly cloudy skies with some scattered showers. Now, that usually means that it's going to be mostly sunny with a few clouds over the mountains and some rain. The winds are out of the east, about 15 miles an hour, but just look up at the mountains and you'll see what the weather's going to be like. Tropical Storm Flossie didn't dampen the spirits of those 72. We had 72 junior professionals at the Wailea Golf Club over the last 3 days. Flossie passed. I wish she'd come like later in the week so we wouldn't have to have like been so stressed out on Monday. And yeah, then have to work the whole week. Was taxing, wasn't it? Well, after Flossie passed, the players saw the bright blue skies on the beautifully manicured greens. And that's the Wailea Gold Course, by the way. San Diego, Team San Diego, retained the lead most of the day. Team Mexico in close pursuit. But at the end of the day, it was Team San Diego winning the 2013 Junior America Cup with a final score of 627, 21 under par. Team Mexico finished second, four strokes back at 631, followed by a three-way tie for a third. That was Team Northern California, Team Southern California, and Team Mexico. About every 18 years, we get to host this event. So very, very cool that they were there. All of the teams, thank you for coming to Hawaii, and all the people who do the very hard work. Mary B. Porter King, you are an amazing person. Thank you. An important television appearance for a young lady, one of the up-and-coming stars on the LPGA. She of course, would love to get a berth on the Solheim Cup, and she's in the mix over at the Rico British Women's Open. Danielle Kang, she and her, well, it's really tough to talk about this because her dad, diagnosed with brain and lung cancer, his name, KS, with KS and Kang's mom, Grace, unable to travel, of course, Kang told ESPN's Tom Rinaldi what she wanted most this week. I want both of them here, but they can't be here. Since they can't be here, I want them to see me on television. Now, understand, during the Rico Women's British Open, we only got 3 hours a day on ESPN, too, and the beauty of it was she played so well that she got her wish. And she said, they're fighting hard. We're all thinking positive. And she sent out the message, I love you guys. I wish you were here. And I hope I get some TV time. And with her 4-under-68 on Thursday, she got her wish. And that's some really powerful stuff. So I'm really, really pleased. Now, Young Choi, putting with her eyes closed, another little note from the tour, the LPGA folks. Thank you so much for giving me these. En route to her second consecutive 5-under-67, very difficult conditions. Choi in at 10-under. She's at the top of the leaderboard entering the weekend, whenever that gets underway. More impressively, Choi carded her 67, of course, during those very tough afternoon conditions. Maybe you could see her 6-birdie, 1-bogey round coming if you closed one of your eyes. During a practice session last week, Choi followed a bit of advice from her instructor. This is something for you to think about. To putt with one of her eyes closed. You know the dominant eye theory, okay, so we know about that. But 2 months ago, she said, like 2 months ago. I couldn't even do it. Closed eye on the practice green. I couldn't hit it. I couldn't trust myself. But this week, my coach gave me a lot of confidence, and then I trust myself. So I tried a lot of putts with the closed eye, just to see the line, just to know it's in the imagination, just my ball going in, going in. She trusted herself on the practice green, but not in Friday's round. Both eyes stayed open. But that's something that you guys should do. It's a really good, good idea. Okay, I think he's here. Let's go straight to, because Ed Kagayama is going to call in soon, I hope, because we want to talk about the Wounded Warriors Project fundraiser that the Billy Casper Golf folks are doing. But let's go to David Woodford, who's on the phone from St. Andrews. He is a locomotive engineer, loves golf.
Hello.
Hi.
Hello, Daniel.
But Makapala is his name on Twitter. Makapala is a coast, a section of the Big Island, the Kohala Coast.
Yes.
It's an area.
It's on the Kohala Coast.
Yeah. And what were you doing on the Big Island?
Oh, well, back when I was younger, I went a few times, stayed with friends who were living in Kona. I had a friend who was a bus boy at the Four Seasons, and I used to go and just sleep on his floor.
Well, that's right. You were probably, what, 19?
A little older than that, about 25, I think.
Yeah, we don't care about, at 25, you don't care about sleeping on floors.
No, that's right. No, not at all. I spent about a month on the Big Island in total back in about 2000 and spent some time on Kauai as well. Just running up a credit card bill.
Yeah.
That I spent 10 years paying off.
Oh, yeah, of course. But you were just recently here, about 2 years ago, weren't you, visiting the Mauna Kea and the beautiful telescopes atop Mauna Kea?
Well, that's right. That's right. I wanted to take my wife to the places that I love so much.
So you had paid off your credit card bill, so you came back and run them up again.
I didn't need to because I got a payment from the banks in the United Kingdom. They missold a lot of people some insurance and I got some compensation for that. So that went straight to Hawaii.
Excellent. We thank you very much, Dave. And for that, we're forever grateful. Let's talk about the golf.
Thank you.
You've been volunteering. You were at the Open and volunteering at the Ricoh Women's British Open. What do you notice? What's different about those two events that stands out in your mind?
Oh, yeah.
The scale. The scale is the main thing, really. If you go to the British Open, you'll see over the 4 days something like 250,000 people will be attending, I think, something like that. You know, it's a lot of people. The whole thing is on a massive scale. The sponsors tents, everything is vast. And then you go to the Women's Open, and on the first day, I think Thursday, there were probably 5,000-10,000 spectators in total. So, yeah, it's a lot smaller. And for example, at Muirfield, every hole had a stand, and that's something you probably won't see at any other tournament. But at the Ricoh British Women's British Open, I think there's two stands. There's one on 17 and there's one on 18, and that's it.
What do you mean by stands?
Bleachers. Sorry.
Yeah, that's okay. That's all right. No, we for places for spectators to sit, get comfortable, and watch.
Yeah, that's right.
The stands at Muirfield, walking down 18, amazing. I tweeted,
yeah.
Wouldn't you love, ladies, to walk this? This is, it's like a Colosseum. You're walking into this amazing group of people. By the same token, the ticket pricing for the Open there were so many empty seats. Why is it so expensive?
I think the empty seats is a little bit misleading. I know that the numbers were a little bit down this year, but you have to remember that the seats, some seats up near the 18th green are sponsor seats. We had the same thing at the Olympics in London last year where some of the sponsor seats were all taken, all block booked, and then the sponsors and the patrons didn't take them up. When you're out on the course, There's a lot of seating available if you want to use it, but you don't have to use it. So you can walk around and you can follow people, or you, for example, I think on the Friday at the men's Open, the Open, I followed groups around. But then on the Sunday afternoon, when all of the excitement was building and Lee Westwood was fading and Phil Mickelson came to the fore, we watched the whole thing happen in the 13th hole, sitting down right at the top. And we could see from there, we could see something like five or six holes on the course. That's amazing, you know, seeing Lee Westwood miss it right. And then when the last group came through and everyone left the stand, my friend and I went round to the 18th tee and watched Phil Mickelson hit those shots in from Phil Mickelson's point of view. So we were right next to him when he hit those shots.
Wow.
Yeah,
yeah, you saw
it. Good.
Yeah. That's amazing. Now, what has been, when you were volunteering for the RICO British Women's Open, what have you been volunteering to do? What is your job?
My job this week is, I was a bit of an emergency stand-in person this week. So if someone didn't show, I kind of stepped into the breach. So on, what day is it today? On the Thursday, I was crossing keeper, or crossing marshal, and that what that means is, on the old course, you're probably aware it's a very unique layout. It's an out and back layout, and the fairways are actually there's no space between the outward fairways and the backward fairways, so you can't walk between the outward nine and the back nine. There's no way through, and what happens is if you can imagine a big runway like you have at Kona or Honolulu, but a single runway, and all the spectators would be around the edge of the runway, and the outward nine and the backward nine are both within that runway area. Obviously some people need to cross at points, so we have to have long, kind of 100-yard long crossings where you put people with flags on either end, like traffic lights with a green flag and a red flag, so that when the say, for example, the people tee off on three. Well, at the same time, you've got people playing from 16th tee to the 16th green. So you have to wait till both groups of people have passed and then let the patrons and the spectators through before the next group comes. I'm not aware of any other golf course where you are all around the perimeter of the golf course. You can't get between the holes. Another little thing to remember is with these big shared greens at the old course, the shared green numbers of the holes all add up to 18. So, for example, the 15th green is shared with the third green, and that adds up to 18, you see. So the 16th and the second, the 15th and the third, the 14th and the fourth are all shared greens.
I just love it. Yes, it does. It's wonderful. It's wonderful that you're telling us this. What did you do on Friday?
I wasn't there on Friday. I was working. I was working today. And then tomorrow morning, I'm not sure what's going to happen because, as you're aware, play has been suspended. So I was going to be on the 15th tomorrow, marshalling on the 15th, keeping the crowd still when people are on the tee, making sure, you know, things are all right for the players. But because there's a third round is going to continue, it's actually continuing at 6:30 tomorrow morning. So I think I might have to get my alarm set and go down and report for duty and see what they want me to do.
That sounds like a great time. Which players did you follow? I believe you were actually following some of the players too.
When you volunteer for an event like that, they normally only need you for half the day. It is a long day. For example, I was on the afternoon shift on Thursday, so I got up and I wanted to see Imbi Park tee off and potentially make history at 7 o'clock in the morning. So I was down there with some of your other guests watching that, and we saw her go out. I think it was in 30 or 31. It was. I know she was. Uh, She was 6 under through 8 holes. Think about that, 6 under through 8 holes. It's quite incredible. But the tees at the old course, they're all on the back nine, and that's where it really showed, and that's where she got found out a little bit, I think. She made a few errors. There were a few strategic decisions, which people may question, and her length off the tee was found to be a little bit telling in the wind coming back. And I go on.
No, no, no. Go exactly what you're saying. Exactly where I wanted to go. The strategic decisions,
yeah.
Because on Twitter you can follow Dave at Makapala. It's M-A-K-A-P-A-L-A. I wanted to ask you, what were those strategic decisions that she made that were a disadvantage to her?
Well, I've played the old course not that many times, but I live in the town and I see the other players, and she went very right on 13. Now, if you hit that fairway there on 13 off the tee, you've got a long second shot. But the danger in going that side is if you catch the rough, and we're talking about an area of fairway which between the bunkers and rough there, which may be 5 yards wide and off the tee, 200 yards away. If she catches that rough, she leaves herself on a mound in the rough with 200 odd yards still to the front, all carry, on a bad slope into the wind. And I think it was Seve Ballesteros that said the way to play the old course is to hook everything 300 yards and then you'll be all right. By that he means the further you go left, the easier the shot. And I just feel that if she'd gone left, she may have had more of an opportunity. In the middle of the fairway on 13 are the coffin bunkers, and a lot of the local players will consider going left. Now, better golfers than me may well suggest, yes, but the wind direction would prohibit that. The wind direction would prevent her from doing that. But what I did see is she took all the wood she had for that second shot on 13, and she didn't reach the front edge. She was about 20 yards short, in trouble, in the rough, and it took her everything. I think she bogeyed that hole, and that was her first proper bogey in that back nine. She missed a gorse bush, you know, one of those horrible gorse bushes.
Yes.
by feet. And it was actually impeding her backswing on the chip shot she had to try and get up and down for par. The other thing about 13 you have to remember is, as well as this incredibly long carry on the second shot, especially for an amateur golfer like me, or one of the lady golfers on the LPGA, the green is very deep. It's 100 yards deep, okay? 300 feet deep green. So if you send one in low and running, it will run 50 yards beyond the hole and leave yourself 50 yards with a putter in your hand.
Mm-hmm.
It's a very difficult hole. It's very difficult. And people talk about the 17th, and they talk about the 14th, the par 5, into the wind. And again, yesterday, if you remember, she left herself very far back on her first shot. She found the fairway on 14 with an area they call the Elysian Fields, but she was so far back that she couldn't carry the famous Hell Bunker, which she couldn't see anyway. No one can see the bunker when you're playing. That's part of the fear of it, but also the fact that it's 10 foot deep. So she had to go left onto the fifth fairway, a la Bobby Jones. But then she hit it that way, and she got into some bad rough on the left, a really bad lie. And it took all her skill to get up and down from that, including one of her spectacular, you know, 20-foot putts just to make par.
Yep.
And it was her distance off the tee again that really, really cost her there, I think.
It's fantastic. David Woodford, we're talking with David. He lives in St. Andrews. He plays the course. Makapala is his name on Twitter, and he tweets some great pictures I retweet them all the time. You really would enjoy just seeing St. Andrews, not just when an event is being played there, but when the locals are playing. Thanks for being on the show. We have to wrap it up. I've got, 60 seconds to thank the people who make this show possible. This is brought to you by Acura of Honolulu. Now more than ever, choosing an Acura just makes sense. With this much traffic, you know you got to ride in comfort. The Acura RLX, RLX Advance, go test drive that car. Poipu Bay Golf Course, 18 championship holes, and you can play them, tee it forward so you're not so intimidated by the whole experience. It's too beautiful to be intimidated. It's Poipu Bay Golf Course, Kauai South Shore Gem. And Star Protection, get them on your property. Get the risk, your risk assessed, and then get the team to help you. My name's Danielle Tucker. Thank you for your mana. May you hit the sweet spot every time. Aloha.
Listening to the award-winning Golf Club Radio Show with Danielle Tucker on the Golf Club Network statewide. Tune in next week and we'll tee it up together only on the Golf Club.
Copyright 2013.